This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Once again, we'll begin the show with a discussion on transportation. Can we get a faster train from Providence to Boston? Here's Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo yesterday at a National Governors Association summit in Boston.
We know it's possible. As the governor said many times, traffic is at a tipping point. It's an issue for Rhode Island. It's an issue for Massachusetts. We share many companies across borders, many, many people on both sides cross the border every day. So it's something we have to work on and look at.
Will managed toll lanes ease highway traffic in the Commonwealth? That's part of Governor Charlie Baker's solution.
As we said in our congestion report, we thought that was the fairest and probably the quickest way for us to put a congestion mechanism in place in Greater Boston. And the fact that several people have done very similar things in equally congested metro areas is particularly interesting to me.
Okay, so would these projects work? And what's the path forward for governors in the region as they work to improve public transit and ease traffic? Let's turn to someone who's thought a lot about this and who has firsthand experience, former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis. We caught up with him a little earlier this afternoon and began with his thoughts on an express train to Providence.
I think it's a good one, and it's long overdue, but it's only one small part of what we've got to be doing here and what the six governors, not just the two, in New England have to do together. Look, we need a first-class regional rail passenger system for New England. And one of the things I hope will happen as a result of this first meeting is that the six New England governors, all of whom need this, get together and get serious about doing this. And one of the things we have to do, obviously, if this is going to work, is to connect North and South Station by rail. I mean, this is ridiculous. We have a Northeast corridor, which is one of the best traveled and the most profitable lines in the Amtrak system. Amtrak makes money on it. And thousands of people who would love to be able to travel between Maine and Washington, D.C., but when they hit North Station, they got to get off, get on the Orange Line, go to Back Bay, and get back on again. I mean, it's embarrassing.
All right, so a couple of questions. First, on this idea of a north-south rail link, MassDOT estimates that that would cost $21.5 billion. That is
absolutely crazy. Look, this is ridiculous. We extended the Red Line when I was governor from Harvard Square to Alewife, 140 feet deep, three new stations, and a half a mile longer than the north-south rail link. In current dollars, that job costs us $1.7 billion.
Fair enough. But, you know, as somebody who suffered through the big dig, which turned out to be $25 billion, forgive me if they didn't put the fear of God into me that $21.5 billion might not be where it winds up. How do we make sure it doesn't cost ballooning amounts like that?
We get excellent management of the kind that I think we had when I was governor that did many of these projects, including the Red Line extension, and did so on time and on budget.
What does it take to take a major public infrastructure project and get it done on time and on budget?
First-class engineering and first-class management. No fooling around. That's what it takes. Now, at this point in time, MassDOT is having a terribly difficult time building anything. That means we've just got to get some people in place who know what they're doing and do these jobs and do them effectively and well in a cost-effective way. I mean, there's no magic to this. You know, it's just good people.
Do you have confidence in the current leadership of the MBTA?
Well, obviously not. I mean, we're on our fourth CEO in 5 years. That's no way to run a railroad. The new guy seems to be a decent guy. He's never run a large public agency before. And that concerns me, obviously.
That's Steve Poftak you're referring
to.
Yeah.
Well, I think is good and well-intentioned, but you know, the T is a big agency, and if you haven't had experience running a large public agency, you're going to have problems. And for some reason, we seem to be able to do this stuff and do it well and run a transit agency that I think it's fair to say by the time I left office was one of the best in the country. And that's what we need here. I mean, anything less than that really isn't worthy of this state, of this city, and of who we are.
Governor Dukakis, on the other hand, Governor Baker has argued that the T problems aren't alone his or his administration's. They're a result of decades of delayed repairs, underinvestment. You know, you were the state's longest-serving governor, 1975 to 79, and again, 83 to 91. Does some of the responsibility for underinvestment land at the feet of your administration?
I don't think so, because we invested a hell of a lot of money in the T and did it wisely and well. And I think it's fair to say that by the time I left office, the T was one of the best public transportation systems in the country. But it's not just Charlie's fault, obviously. On the other hand, he's the governor. He's been in office for 5 years. And we need some answers because this city is choking to death with traffic, as anybody knows who tries to navigate it. I wouldn't take a car into Boston or through Boston during the rush hour if my life depended on it. I mean, it's just brutal. Look, we left a transit system which was doing extremely well at the time. And ridership was up on a regular basis and so on and so forth. And we've got to get back to that.
Governor, you've mentioned six governors, regional solution, you know, the kind of large-scale public infrastructure solutions that suggest a need for a regional vision. In the last gubernatorial election, candidate Jay Gonzalez argued that we needed a vision for transportation. Do we have a vision problem here?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, it's taken a while to get there, but...
Are you saying you hope that we're at a point where we have a shared vision for this need?
I certainly hope so, but it's got to be broader than just a better train from Providence to Boston, even though that's very important. It's got to be a regional system, and this is not an expensive undertaking. Remember, you know, we've got all these rail lines around. Some of them are being used, some of them aren't. But it's easy to modernize them and easy to turn them into excellent transportation facilities. Look at Worcester to Boston. You know, Worcester was struggling as a city, having difficulty turning its economy around. We went to work, invested in biotech in Worcester and so on, and in a much improved rail system from Boston to Worcester, 20 trips a day now. That's hugely important. That is providing excellent transportation, not in cars, between the two cities. But we've got to go west. We've got to do a much better job in southeastern Massachusetts. And we now have our friends in New Hampshire that are raising hell about the importance of getting rail transportation from Concord, New Hampshire, down to Boston. So it seems to me this is the perfect time for the six New England governors to pull together. And, by the way, to get our congressional delegations from the six states deeply involved as well.
So you've talked about, you know, listen, we can build off the current infrastructure. One of the things that was interesting, commuter rail currently runs diesel locomotives, but Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack talked about the state's idea of leasing some electric locomotives from Amtrak to test out this Providence line. Let's listen to that for a sec.
What we are talking to Amtrak about is whether there's a possibility to lease either an electric or what's called a dual fuel locomotive that can run on either diesel or electric for us to run on the line, because if it's going to be some kind of a pilot to see how it goes, going out and buying electric locomotives is going to cost a lot of money and take a lot of time.
So she's talking about piloting and experimenting with the existing infrastructure. Governor Charlie Baker has talked about these managed lanes where you pay money to be in a separate lane. Where is there room for experimentation, for quick piloting, for quickly trying new things that might provide temporary relief and give us a clearer understanding of how to move forward?
There's nothing new about electric trains between Providence and Boston. The Acela runs and the Amtrak trains run with electricity on that corridor. It's fully electrified. So I don't know why we have to pilot this thing. I mean, let's get on with it.
What do you think of this managed lane idea, this idea?
I don't think it's going to work.
How come?
Well, because the automobile cannot solve this problem. You know, we've just spent $300 million to widen 128 from Route 9 to 95. How's it doing? Kitty and I had a speaking date down, of all places, at the Norfolk Prison. We left Brookline at 4:30 in the afternoon to make a 6 o'clock speaking date. You know what time we got there?
No.
With the newly widened 128? 6:30. 2 hours for 19 miles. I mean, the car can't do this.
Although, Governor, there is some research to suggest that, okay, if you add more regular lanes, people are just always going to fill them up. But if you use pricing to control access to a particular lane, the research from some other states shows that not only does traffic get better in the lane that people are paying for, but it actually improves at least marginally in the lane people aren't paying for either. So is there some hope of relief with that kind of approach?
Well, I don't know who did the research. All I can tell you is that I spent 3 months out in California teaching at UCLA during the winter quarter, and they have some of these lanes. They're not great, believe me. Southern California is still as congested as ever when it comes to automobiles. Look, the only way to solve this problem is to provide people with an excellent alternative. The It doesn't involve automobiles. This is just a question of getting going and getting serious and having a sense of urgency about this so we can do something about it.
Governor, before I let you go, I'd like to ask you one or two more big picture questions. You're okay. Undoubtedly aware of the RMV scandal. You know, you've been the chief executive of the Commonwealth twice. When there are significant management or oversight failures somewhere in that reporting structure, you know, where do you think the buck stops? And how, from your perspective, does one assure that appropriate accountability for what's already happened and what needs to happen is in place?
Well, it starts in the governor's office, and you know, Charlie's a good guy, and he's working hard. I don't know what happened at the registry. All I can tell you is that any governor who doesn't understand that the registry is going to be a serious management problem unless you have somebody who's running it who knows what he or she is doing is making a serious mistake. I mean, I replaced the registrar that I inherited when I first became, second time around when I became governor, and we inherited a registry where you had to wait 3 hours to get a license. And by the time I left the governor's office, it was 15 minutes. There's no magic to this. You've got to have somebody run the registry who is a first-rate manager.
Okay, so there's one other question I'd like to ask you, Governor. Based on, you know, your experience two different times in the governor's office, what advice would you offer to Governor Baker and Governor Raimondo of Rhode Island on these transportation issues?
Well, first, they're doing the right thing by meeting and discussing them. You know, I went down to Providence to talk to their smart growth group, and they were complaining about the fact that Governor Raimondo couldn't get through to the T. And I said to them, look, tell her to pick up the phone and call Charlie Baker. You know, this is a governor-to-governor thing, and she apparently did so, and we had a meeting yesterday. And I hope that's going to produce some good results. You know, so much of this isn't complicated, but it does involve the six governors who don't meet together very often. This is a very distinct region. We like each other. We take pride in the fact that we are New Englanders. Maybe this transportation thing will trigger a revival, get back to the days when those six governors were working closely and well together.
Michael Dukakis is the former governor of Massachusetts. He's now a distinguished professor of political science at Northeastern University. Governor Dukakis, thanks so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
And a note, we reached out to Governor Baker's office to have him join us today. He was unavailable. Stay with us. Coming up, what would the merger of the Gatehouse and Gannett newspaper chains mean for Massachusetts? I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.